Kia ora katoa and welcome to Well with Anahila. Yes, it's Well with Anahila. Anahila kanonga ta asui sui ki, the Labour List MP based in Papakura and Tāmaki. Well, this afternoon we've got someone who's really special. Her role is that she empowers parents to support their children better. So Adriana Outforced has worked with students, parents and schools in South Auckland and Papakura for many years. Many times students are only helped when they are in crisis point in their education career. What is needed, she says, is a child advocate that can work with the whānau early on in the child's life to identify issues and then to create a plan with the school, parents and students to ensure they are supported on their journey. Adriana sees an opportunity to meet the need within the community by being a child advocate, and she has branched out into her own business to meet the needs. She can talk about her extensive experience in our program today. So, Adriana, welcome to Well with Anahila. How are you this afternoon?
I'm feeling great, thank you.
Great. Yeah, well, you know, the program is about women talking about well-being and everything they're doing out there in the community, from child advocacy to whatever it is that's happening in the community. So tell us a little something about yourself.
Okay, so my mother is Māori, and she's Ngāti Kahu ki Whangaroa, from up north, and my father is Dutch.
Oh, Dutch.
So he came from Megan in the Netherlands.
Mm.
I have been a teacher, primary trained teacher, for 10 years, and then I became a resource teacher of learning and behaviour for another further 10 years. I am a grandmother of three wonderful girls and a mother of four.
Mother of four, that's wonderful. And how long have you worked in South Auckland?
So I was born and bred in Pukekohe.
Pukekohe, yeah.
Yes, and I lived out at Waipā for much of my life, and then I have just returned back to Papakura, where I work now.
Oh, great. So tell me about the program you're running in Papakura. You talked about, in the information we received, we talked about that you're a child advocacy, and one of the things I like what you said was that not one size fits all needs for students.
That's right. Yeah. So I have set up a business called Child Advocacy New Zealand, and that is because through my experience as a teacher in RTLB, Resource Teacher of Learning Behaviour, I have seen that parents have not known what their rights are, and because of that, they haven't been able to access the support they require. So many of the parents with children with disabilities tend to accept whatever the school tells them.
Okay.
And they may be excluded or hours reduced. And so they can't access quality education that they have a right to.
Okay. So Child Advocacy New Zealand advocates for disabled children in the educational system?
I advocate for all parents who are struggling to keep their children in schools. Those will be children with learning and behavioural difficulties. I think it's just about educating parents. And the way that I see that it's best done is to educate those people who are working with whānau. Those ones who have developed the relationship with whānau. Because I cannot go in to each whānau and provide them with the support. I believe those people who are working with whānau can do that. The social workers, the navigators, whānau ora navigators. And if they're empowered, they can empower the parents. And if the parents are advocates for their children, their children will grow up to be advocates for themselves.
Okay.
So, and plus the other thing is parents are in there for the long haul. Learning support and resource teachers of learning and behaviour are only in for short term. School's children only attend school for a few years, and then they're gone into another situation, whereas whānau are there for the long haul.
Okay, they're basically there for life, eh?
Yes, that's right.
So if, let's just say, you say you're a child advocacy business, so how does, if I've got a parent who's got a learning difficulty, I require learning support from my child, how do, if I live in Papakura, so how do I contact you?
So basically I've got a website, but the way that I see it, the most effective way is if those organisations that work with whānau, if they can see patterns, and they will come across a lot of problems out there, if they came and made contact with me, and then I could go into those organisations and educate those people working with whānau. Whānau can also contact me. I've got a website, and I am willing to go to the school and attend meetings with them, and also to look over their records, child's records, to see if there are things that can be done to speed up the process.
Okay, so don't mind, I know that you don't, you can't share personal information about a particular child, but maybe you could give us an example on how that works, how your advocacy had worked for, most successful for a particular student or child?
Okay, so I worked with a family with a boy aged 10, and he had ASD, which is autism. And the family was struggling to keep him in school. He was facing a lot of bullying at school, and they were at loss on how to deal with the school. So basically I provided them with education as to what their rights were and supported them in meetings to challenge the school. So after a while, the parent became empowered, so she understood what her rights were, and then I was no longer needed. She was able to go forward and continue to question and challenge and to access those services that her child had a right to access.
Okay, so I understand that. So parents are not aware of what their child's the rights of their child in terms of the school, and most parents probably just go along with suggestions that the school has.
That's exactly right. So, for an example, when children start school, when they first start school, and they have learning and behavioural difficulties at school, the school should set up meetings with the parents and start to find interventions that work for that child. So if they do that in the early stages, they can set up a thing called an individual education plan. If all children had an individual education plan, then we could monitor their progress and their learning. We could find out what interventions worked and what interventions did not work, and that would help the teacher, the parent, and the child. And then if that's documented through the life of the child, if the child needs further learning supports such as assistive technology, or if they need OARS, which is ongoing reviewable scheme, they would be able to access that easier than if they didn't have an IEP. And what I found in many schools is that children do not have IEPs. Parents don't know that their child should have an IEP. And then some parents start to get really upset when they do have an IEP because they're so negative. But those IEPs are supposed to support parents, teachers and the student.
Mm.
And they should be celebrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what the 10-year-old that you had supported their parents through the system, did he end up having an IEP, individual education plan?
At that stage, he did not have one in place, and that's what I mean. Like, when RTLB come in, these children have learning and behavioural difficulties. They should have had an IEP, but this child did not have an IEP. So we developed an action plan with the RTLB.
So the RTLB, in terms of our listeners, what does that stand for?
Okay, so RTLBs are resource teachers of learning and behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And if your child has a learning or behavioural difficulty at school, then schools can refer your child to get extra assistance from the RTLB.
RTLB, yeah.
Yes. So at the moment, they've got RTLBs for low-level learning and behaviour, and then if they can't address the problem, it goes up to Ministry of Education Learning Support, and at the moment, Tracy Martin is releasing learning support coordinators.
Yes, yes.
Which
would that help?
I think that they would help because they would be in the schools long term.
Yeah.
RTLBs are itinerant, so they come into the school, they stay there for about 30 weeks, and then they go again.
Yeah.
So they just come in, go out. And it's very hard to form relationships with people who just fly in, fly out, and they sometimes work or they sometimes do not work. So I think those learning support coordinators are a very good move.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So that's something that's going to work. How would your work work? Would you be working alongside the learning support coordinators?
Yes, I would be working with anyone who is working with that child. So I think the important thing to remember is that education doesn't happen in isolation, and that has been the problem with our learning support, special education in the past, where we have had fragmented systems where people are not working together. We need to work together, parents, RTLBs, learning support, schools, teachers, because we all have something to add to the support for those children.
Okay, that's great. So Minister Martin, she's the Associate Minister of Education, she launched she had a media release out on the 2nd of August about those. Do you know, I think that's my role in terms of the local list MPs to find out how many of those learning support teachers will be in, positions will be in Papakura, but do you know whether principals are looking at that at the moment? Or?
Well, there's a little bit of controversy at the moment the placement of them, but I think, you know, you have to start somewhere. They had to make changes because the old system was not working and children were falling through the gaps and parents were struggling to keep their children in schools. So that learning support coordinators is an additional layer, and I believe that if it's done properly, then it will be very good.
Okay, so they will be in the classroom together with the SENCO, is it? Can you tell us?
Each school has a special education needs coordinator, and that's where the word SENCO comes from. And that person is responsible for the children with learning and behavioural difficulties in school and getting them access to supports.
Because Minister Martin talked about that the learning support coordinators will not be teachers, like they won't be expected to teach during this, and that they would be working alongside the SENCO.
So the SENCOs in the past, all schools had, all principals had the opportunity and choice to employ teachers to be SENCOs, to provide them with extra units of money and to provide them with release time. Some schools did put SENCOs into their schools because they knew that there was a crisis out there with children, and they were proactive in getting supports in for those children. Some schools couldn't be bothered. Some schools didn't do that, and so their children suffered. So it's like principals could have done that, but they didn't, chose not. Some chose not to. So the SENCO role is very important. Every SENCO has, every SENCO in every school has the support of a RTLB liaison person who comes in to support them with their role.
Okay. So, that's good. That's good to hear that having the learning support person as the permanent and part of the school is ideal rather than coming in for a short-term period and then leaving like the current RTLBs are doing. Okay. So, Adriana, why do you do what you do?
Okay, I do what I do because I know how very important quality education is for our children and our people. I believe that education enables one to move beyond their current status, and that's why I do what I do. Because I want to contribute to society, and I think that's one of my purposes in life is to contribute.
Okay, that's wonderful. So you say you're Maori and you're Dutch, and you've born in Pukekohe.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what are the things that you love about the area?
I love the country.
Yeah.
I must admit that when I was raised in my early days, in the 60s, it was not such a nice place because if anyone knows about Pukekohe, there was Pukekohe apartheid. Yeah. And it was not a very nice place to be. So my mother couldn't have her hair cut there. We couldn't go to the cinema.
The 60s, 1960?
In the 60s, in the early, I think in the 50s, yeah. Something like that. So it was those sorts of things, the racial discrimination lived on for a long time. And it's still, people still feel that.
Oh.
People still remember, especially the old people. They will remember that because that was a horrible time. And I remember as a child growing up that actually my mother used to use granola a lot to make everything nice and white.
Yeah.
And I remember as a child that I used to soak myself in granola to hope that I would turn white because that's how horrible it was. It was a terrible, terrible place. But you know, it's improved.
Yeah.
But people have still remembered those days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how did your parents meet? Because your mum's Māori and your dad's Dutch.
Okay, so my mum was a nurse aide at Kingsead Hospital.
Yes.
And my father was a registered nurse at Kingsead Hospital, and that's where they met.
Met at Kingsead Hospital. Yes. Yeah. So what happens when people come to Well with Anahila? They're usually people who are quite busy in the community. They're out there engaging with people or helping and supporting other people. So one of the questions I ask people is, well, what do you do for well-being?
Okay. So what's a really good book that I read is The Shed Method by Sarah Milne Rao. And it's available through Auckland Libraries as an audio book. She provides really good advice
Yeah.
And she talks about sleep.
Sleep,
8 hours of sleep every day.
8 hours.
Hydration, 8 glasses of water a day.
Mm.
Exercise, I do 20-30 minutes a day walking. And diet, so that's cut down on the carbs, cut down on the sugar, cut down on the salt, and cut down on the coffee. So it's 3 coffees a day. Last coffee is supposed to be at 2 o'clock. But she also talks about the importance of mind, body, mood, and relationships with others, and purpose in life. And I think her book provides a really good guideline for women on how to, you know, balance your life out. Before that, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't exercising, lots of sugar, which isn't good for me because of diabetes and that. I haven't got a diabetes yet, but I'm prone to it being Māori.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what I do. Also, family. My children.
Yep.
Spend lots of time with them, especially the grandchildren. And learn to love myself. I think we all have to, as women, we need to be kind to ourselves. We need to be kind to other women. So learn to love myself first so that I can love my family. And that's what I've learned through life, the very hard way, that you have to love yourself and be kind to yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, acknowledging your kōrero about your mum and growing up in Pukekohe in the 60s, well, I didn't arrive here until 1980, so I'm probably quite lucky that I've gone past. But I do know, and I've read about that Pukekohe was quite a hard place. New Zealand had gone on with life, and Pukekohe was still in that stage where you were talking about before. So I just want to acknowledge that, the kōrero that you've shared about your mum and you growing up. How many of you, your siblings?
So I've got 2 younger sisters.
Yeah.
And, 2 younger sisters.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, do you catch up and do sisterly things?
My older sister, my middle sister is Sylvia, and she is a psychiatrist up in Northland, and she is living very close by to my parents who live on Carmel, and she lives up there. My other sister is she's 10 years younger, she's an accountant, and she lives in Auckland, and she's got 2 children, so... Yeah, we catch up every now and again.
Yeah. See, that's what's great about this program is that we talk about yourself as well, the person who's giving all the advocacy, because it must. Principals and school teachers are quite confident, strong individuals, and with you having to navigate your way through the system and supporting parents, that must take a lot of energy. And it's good to know where you get your energy from your family, and now. So it was Sarah Milne. What was her last name?
Rowe.
Rowe. Looks like it's an 8 hour sleep, 8 liters of hydration, 20 minutes walk. And of course, cut down on those other things.
Yeah, so shed. That's what shed stands for.
Shed. Oh, right.
Shed.
Shed. Yes.
Shed. Sleep, hydration, exercise diet.
Shed. All right, shed. Okay.
So I thought, what was it shed for? it's a
really
good book.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Adriana, for the work that you do out in our community, in your advocacy and supporting parents. I'm a parent myself. I've got my last child at school. She's 14. We say, well, she's the last of the Mohegans. She's 14, and I also need to learn about the school system and take time to do that, but it would be great if I had somebody who could better inform me of how the system runs. There's one thing about knowing about about how the education system runs, and there's one thing about operating within it as a parent, because regardless what your level of education is, you always I think you always go back to when you were a student. When I was a student, always thinking the teachers and the principals are right all the time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, any last thoughts you want to share with us? Hopefully our parents are listening. How they can get in touch with you in the community? Do you have an office or,
Right. I work from home.
Mm.
But the thing that I, with parents, is to ask for help.
Okay.
To seek help.
Mm.
Keep seeking help until you find help. Mm-hmm. That resonates with you. Don't stop asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of organisations that are setting up now and Facebook pages that are out there for parents. And I think that's what's important, is that parents get hope.
Mm-hmm.
That they there are other people out there who want to help them to not be isolated.
Yeah.
To ask for help. And
So the help is out there.
Yeah, the
help
is out.
So your website, Adriana, what's your website?
So my website is www.childadvocacynz.
Yep. Is that .co.nz or just NZ?
.nz, sorry.
.nz. Yes, so childadvocacy.nz. Yep.
Yes.
And do you have a phone number?
And my phone number is 027 Adriana. Which is
027-237-4262. So it's 027-ADRIANA.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Most people have 0800, but yours is great. 027-ADRIANA. And the website is www.childadvocacy.nz.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's it, childadvocacy.nz. Yep. Well, we're almost run out of time, Adriana. I'll give you a last, is there anything you'd like to share with us?
At this stage, I'm just can't think of anything at the moment.
Well, thank you very much for joining Well with Anahila today. And that was Well with Anahila today. We had Adriana Outforced, and she spoke about child advocacy and parents don't suffer in silence. There are community groups out there. If you have a learning need support, a child that needs support, you can seek advocacy from others. But today it is Adriana. It is www.childadvocacy.nz. And the phone number to contact is 027-ADRIANA. Or 027-237-4269.
62.
62.
Yeah.
027-237-4262. And that was Well with Anahila today. Keep warm. Keep warm. And there is always somebody out there in the community to be engaged with. Give us a call and we'll connect you with someone in the community for whatever it is. Women's groups. Yeah. You call us 0800 Anahila or anahila@parliament.govt.nz. I think I'm used to seeing the code. Anyway, ka kite anō. Stay warm.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.